but he did, and that's a miracle. But when you see it, I mean, you, Josh, oh my goodness. I mean, it's a miracle that God takes somebody and he gives them their own soul. But he gives them characteristics of a father and a mother. And that they even resemble. They even oftentimes, not always. I don't know what were Grant and Josh. I don't know what happened to those two. I think Grant ate half of what Josh. Maybe ate half of Josh. I don't know. But, you know, it's really amazing. And we take it for granted the way that creation works. The way that we have the ability out of love to make a child, and a child has a soul, and a child has a mind, and a child looks a lot like us and resembles us, and we have an awesome opportunity, but we have an awesome responsibility. So I say happy Father's Day. As we examine a word today, I really had another word that I've been wanting to give for a while, and I keep trying to give it, and God must not be ready for it. So, but there's something about the Father's love today that I can't get over. And, you know, a lot of times we don't do that here sometimes so much. Sometimes we do, but we don't have to do a Father's Day message on Father's Day or a Mother's Day. I think the last Mother's Day message I did, and I love my mother, but I did it on warships and battleships, so I don't know what that means. We don't always do it that way, but God has put a word in my heart about the heart of the Father. About the heart of a father. We think of a lot of traits about a father. I've heard songs written about a father's hands. And if you had a father that was a hard-working man, maybe a coal miner or a construction worker, you know what a father's hand looked like, who held those kind of pieces of equipment, who worked hard, who had calluses on his hands, dirt under his nails, maybe a car mechanic. You know what a father's hands look like. You know what a father's voice sounds like, right? Some of you, if you don't have your father anymore, you remember the sound of his voice. In fact, whether you have him or don't have him, if you close your eyes right now, you could probably still hear the sound, if you knew your father, of him yelling your name or something as a child. You could probably remember it. I can remember as a child, you know, we didn't have cell phones, and so we just go outside and play. Imagine that. And they couldn't text, say, come home soon, emoji or something, you know. You know what happened at dark? You either got home or what would you hear? And you better not get so far you couldn't hear his, right? If you got that far, you were in trouble. That was the texting back to his. But I can still remember the sound of that voice as they yelled throughout a neighborhood. Can you remember that? So I think of the hands of a father. I think of the eyes of a father. I think of the voice of a father. But I really think of the heart. A father, because I'll say this, I said this on Mother's Day. I think a lot of my nature to fight I got from my mother. And it's kind of like an oversimplification, but a lot of my ability to love I got from my father. Because there's something about the heart of a father. So I'm going to read a scripture, and we're going to see where the word gets us today. And maybe talk just a few minutes, hopefully not too long. So if you're ready for the word, say amen. If you could, we're going to turn to Matthew 7. Just to get us going. Matthew 7 and 7. And I'll say why we do this. It's an honor for me to serve with my Father. It's an honor for me to serve my Heavenly Father, but it's an honor for me to serve with my earthly Father. Do you have the scripture? If you do, say amen. All right, here we go. Matthew 7:7. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, say more, will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? You may be seated. I want to look at the Father, the heart of the Father today. And I look around this building and I see all these dads here today. And all dads are different, and all of our life situations are different. We all have different quirks and idiosyncrasies. But I tell you this, I guarantee this, for most of us in this room, if you have a child, you will fight for your child. I mean, I really believe what I preach, and I try to, I don't always do a great job, but I always try, I really do try to be an example of what Jesus wanted us to be. And you know, Jesus says when somebody hits you, you turn the other cheek. And that's what we should do. But I'm here to tell you, if you get in front of between me and my child, I will knock you out. I will knock you out. And I'm not even kidding. And if you're a father in this room, you know what I'm talking about. You love, man, you'll love, you'll give your last nickel. And if it's just me, man, and somebody come up and did something to me, I might let it slide, because that's what Christ would have us do. But if you threaten my child, we got problems. And if you're a dad in here and somebody threatened your child, we'd have problems. I have no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt in my mind that if you got into somebody's kids and messed with them, they'd be ready to fight. How many knows that? There's some awesome dads in this room. How many believe there's some awesome dads in this room? And I know we want to be humble and but there's some awesome dads. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I can look around the room and I can see Mr. Malik. And I just see, you know, a lot of times dads don't like their son-in-laws, you know? I mean, that's just how it is. A lot of tension because, you know, you don't take care of my baby like I like you take care of my baby kind of thing. I got two good ones. But I'll tell you something about Mr. Malik. He's a dad. He loves on his son. I mean, if you're around him, I saw him in a hospital at a beach where he could have been having fun, and he wouldn't leave that child's side. He wouldn't even go eat. He wouldn't even go take. I don't even went to the bathroom, man. He just wanted to hold his child. There's something about a father. I see Dale White with so many, so much love in his heart, willing to take on what other people might look at as a problem situation and say, no, with God, all things are possible. I see the other dads. I see dads in here. I see my father who has, I put a lot of gray hairs on his head, but he's always been there for me. Always been there for me. Always demonstrating what love should be. Always showing me. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'll tell you this. Sometimes I haven't always been good at following Christ, but if I can just follow this guy, I'll get pretty close. Because I'm telling you, when you have the heart of the Father beating inside your chest, you love. When you have the heart of the Father beating inside your chest, you see things a little differently. You see things, your priorities are a little different. How many knows you've known these kids, man, and their kids, and they want to ride their motorcycles. Nothing wrong with these things, Steve. They want to ride their motorcycles, and they want to just party and do things, you know. But I tell you what, when they have a child, sometimes they have to sell that old motorcycle. Sometimes they buy it back a few years later. But they have to sell that old motor. They have to sell them old sports cars. They have to sell them old dreams, because they have to put that child first. How many knows that's the heart of the Father? It's a selfish heartbeat. It's a heartbeat that says, I'll do whatever it takes to love my child. How many knows that's what a father's love is all about? Start looking at things differently. Will and Jenny, I mean, that's their life changed. I mean, you can just look around this room and all of you, and I see Clay, man. What do you say, Clay? Can you not see a father's love? Can you not see a father's heart? When you see Clay love on little Hattie and just, oh, can you not just see it? Not only Hattie, all of them, but can't you see it? The heart of a father. I want to tell you about somebody, and you guys, some of you guys have heard this story before or seen this before on TV, but it touches me. Every time I see it, it touches me. And it's about a regular guy, just a regular Joe. I don't think there's any celebrities in this room. I really don't. Booth's probably the closest. But you get him outside of Norton or West Virginia, nobody knows. You know, let's be real. We're not celebrities. We're not on TV here anymore. But we're just regular people. And this guy, I'm going to tell you about his name, Rick Van Beck. And I may have shared about him before a long time ago. But he's a guy, he's 39 years old, he's from Michigan. And he's just a regular guy. In fact, you guys have any pictures of that cat? Rick Van Beck, Will? Got it? There he is. There's that dude. Let me tell you about this dude. He was 39 years old, he was overweight, he was a heavy smoker, and he had a heavy, skull habit, right? He was out of shape, he was not very healthy, he was on medications, and he had a child born, and the child's name was Maddie. Say Maddie. And there's Maddie in his arms. Maddie is now 13 years old. She was born with a type of cerebral palsy that the doctors say at this point in her life, even at 13, even though she's been blessed to be alive, she has the functioning ability of a 3-month-old. That's pretty tough, you know, maybe in a way. That's a 13-year-old child functioning as a 3-month-old. But one time, this young man, this man named Rick, was at one of these races, you know, these where they walk and they do, you know, how each town has these charity races. You guys have probably done it. How many have done that? You've been to a charity race, you've seen it. I know Miss Selena has. You know, you walk, get 5K or something like that. And they were in one of those, and somebody was just pushing little Maddie. And all of a sudden, little Maddie lit up. And she just loved it. The noise, the sound, the runners, but there's something about the wind blowing in her face. As somebody pushed the little child, that she just started laughing and showing joy and showing happiness. And Rick saw a joy in his daughter that changed his life. He said, you know what? If I can give her that kind of joy, then that's what I'm going to do. So Rick put, and I'm not preaching again, whatever y'all want to do, that's your business between you and God. I'm just saying, he put down his cigarettes and he put down his skull and he put down the fork and he started training and he got in shape and he said, you know what? I'm going to start running races and I'm going to run them with Maddie. And how many knows this little guy right here, Rick from Michigan, has now run 70 races carrying his child. He carries her, he pushes her, he pulls her. He recently ran a triathlon where he pulled her in the water. He pushed her on a bike, carried her on a bicycle. He pushed her in a race. At certain points, he has to carry her physically. He did a half marathon. I can't hardly drive a half marathon. My mother can't drive a half marathon without stopping to the restroom or get a drink at a convenience store. God bless her soul. But he walked a half marathon with this child. And he does it for one reason. Because there's something in the heart of this man that wants to see the joy of his child. There's something in the heart of this man that'll do whatever it takes to put joy in his child, to see the joy in his child's face, to see the smile on her face, to see her light up with joy. How many knows the heart of the father loves to see the joy of his children? And it probably got tough along the way. Look at him carry her. Probably got tough. There's probably been points along the way where the load got a little heavy. But the Father never drops her. She's never been dropped. Let me tell you something. The journey can get tough. But let me tell you something. Your Father will never drop you. Your Father in heaven will never. I might let you down. He might let you down. But he won't drop you. He'll get you through. He'll get you to the finish line. He'll get you across the water. He'll get you across the race. He'll get you across the mountain. You will get there with the Father. Just a regular guy looking for joy in his child and willing to do whatever it takes to see it. Here's what he said. She drives me to do the things that I do. Call it inspiration, call it motivation, and call it whatever you want. But I call it love. He also says this. Everybody prays that their children are healthy. And I did that for 8 years. I still wish that she'd been a healthy child. But if she wouldn't have been like she is, then we wouldn't be the people that we are today. That is the Father's love. It's not about you, Jack. It's not about me, Jack. It's about the joy of our children. It's about putting love into our children. It's about the legacy we leave behind. And it's about never letting them down. And that's what Rick did. So I started thinking about the scripture, and there's probably what everybody preaches on Father's Day, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not going to run from it because it's common. I'm going to hit it because I think God put it in here for a reason. If God put it in the Word of God, it's important. We're going to talk about it. But there's another example of the Father's love that everybody talks about and everybody knows in the scripture. And it's found in Luke 15. And it's about a father who loved his child. And I'm going to read it from the Passion because I can get it close to my eyes. And I'm just going to read it, and we'll talk about it as we go. Here we go. Then Jesus said this: once there was a father with two sons. The younger son came to the father and said, "Father, don't you think it's time to give you me the share of your estate that belongs to me?" The boy came to the father and said, "Father, I want what's mine." Now, I want you to pay attention. He didn't ask for something that wasn't his. It was going to be his share. It was his inheritance. He had a very legitimate request, but it was at an illegitimate time. In that culture, what he was really telling the father was, in slang terms, "Dad, I don't care if you're dead. Give me what's mine. Just give me what's mine. I want what's mine right now." I can tell you this to young ministers, that you know, you have an anointing on your life, but you got to let it come at its time. Because if you take it ahead of its time, you're going to get out of whack. If you want the Father's blessings, you got to take it with something called the Father's presence. When we want the Father's blessing, but we don't want His presence, we get in trouble. When we want the Father's blessing, but we don't want His rule, we get in trouble. How many knows many times as kids, we want the blessing, but we don't want the rule? We want the car, but we don't want yes, no. We want all the things of life and all the blessings. Sometimes as kids, they want that, you know, when they get to be older. Where's Sal? Cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Son, you going to come home now? When are you going to come? Or, you know, can I borrow the car keys, right? You know, sometimes we get as a dad and our children get a certain age, they get busy in their own life and we get lonely. And how many have been there? So if I have already, and my kids are great, but you know, we miss them. They have their own life. And when you're young and they're all over you and you just have them all the time and it just feels like that's never going to end. But I'm here to tell you, if you got young kids, it's going to end. And when it ends, you're going to be miserable sometimes. You're going to miss it. You're going to cry and you're going to say, "When are my kids coming to see me?" And they come and they love you. But you know what they want? Sometimes they just want stuff. That's just kids. Sometimes that's us too. We want God to bless us, but we'll be outside the presence. How many prayer requests do you get? Calls, texts, and I'm not criticizing it or saying there's anything wrong with that, but from people who don't go to church. They want the blessing, but they don't want the presence. They have no relationship themselves, but they want God to bless them in some way. They want to remove themselves from the presence of the Father, but they want the anointing or blessing of the Father. And it don't work that way. Anytime you remove the presence from the anointing, you get trouble. And so this cat, the father acquiesced, and the father went ahead and distributed among the two sons their inheritance. Shortly afterward, the younger son packed up all of his belongings and he traveled off to see the world. He journeyed to a far off land where he soon wasted all he was given in a binge of extravagant and reckless living. He blew it. You know, each and every one of us was created for a purpose. The Bible says that we were given have a purpose before we were even formed in our mother's womb. You are put on this planet for a reason. There are no accidents. You are here for a reason. And sometimes, though, when we get outside of the will of God in our life, we squander that presence and we find ourselves far from where we were supposed to be, like a ship blown off course. How many have been there? You wake up one day and you say, "How did I get here? Is this what I was put on earth to do? Is this my real purpose? Isn't there more to life than this? God, isn't there more to life than this? God, how did did I get here, God? We question God. But do we ask ourselves, did we remove ourselves from the presence? With everything spent and nothing left, he grew hungry. Hungry! For there was a severe famine in that land. Let me tell you something. You get out of the Father's house and it's not always comfortable out there. You're going to be a big, big tough dude or dudette. A big tough man or woman. And you're going to go do it your way. And how many know sometimes you got to come crawling back. Because it's tough out there. It's a wild world out there. It's a hard world out there. There's wild stuff going on. And it'll chew you up and eat you if you let it. Let me tell you something. It ain't as easy as it looks. When we're kids and we see our parents, and they just seem to always have food on the table. It just looks easy. We want something. A lot of times we get it. We happen to go on a trip, right? And you get out there on your own, man, it ain't so easy. It's not so easy. And so he woke up hungry in a far-off land. I think there's, if we're honest with ourselves, some of us in this room's hungry. And really, there's nothing wrong with that. I'd be more worried if there's people in this room not hungry. Because right before you starve, you know, there's this condition called starvation where if you don't get food long enough, you actually die. That happens places. I know here we can't go 3 hours without a cheeseburger. But in some places, they really do still starve to death, you know? We kind of got it good over here. But there's this problem that happens that you get so hungry, but eventually you get so hungry you lose your appetite because you're on the verge of actually starving to death. And you actually don't want to eat anymore. That's a dangerous condition. If you're in this room and you say, you know what? I'm probably not quite doing everything the way I'm supposed to be. I'm not in the presence that I need to be in. I'm not living the where I need to live. I'm not living in my full purpose. But you're not hungry? That's a dangerous condition. But this young man was hungry. So he begged the farmer in that country to hire him. And the farmer hired him to send him out to feed the pigs. And how many know that was an insult for their culture? That was like the lowest. I don't know what the lowest job is in this country. Probably lawyer. But it was like an insult to be that to feed pigs for a Jewish person. But he was so famished, he was willing to even eat the slop given to pigs because no one would eat him. He was so hungry, he would even eat slop. We're in a nation of hungry people, and they're looking for something to eat, but they're settling for slop because they remove themselves from the presence of the Father. They inject slop in their arms. They snort slop in their noses. They take slop down their throats. They watch slop through their eyes. They hear slop through their ears. And they lay down with slop because they remove themselves from the presence of the Father. And they're sustaining themselves on food that they were never meant to eat. We entertain ourselves. We sustain ourselves. We occupy our time and our minds on food that is far beneath you. Because you were made to run. You can't run a race and eat a bunch of junk. Slop. We pick on addicts. And we just kind of, that's all we talk about. But we're guilty of it. Not just drugs. The things we watch, the things we read, the things we hear, the things we talk about, the gossip we entertain, the way we tear people down. We're just rolling around in slop and we're okay with it. We're not even shocked by it anymore. It would have been shocking for a Jewish man, a royal Jewish man with money, to have seen his son laying around a bunch of pigs and just shoveling slop in his mouth. That would have been shocking. But we've seen it so much. We're like a culture in a city that walks by homeless people every day. We've seen so much slop eating, it don't even shock us anymore. We're okay with it. And so he laid there, humiliated, as I read on. The son finally realized what he was doing, and he thought, he had a memory. He's laying there in his misery, and he remembered something. You ever done that? You ever been laying there? I have. I went home on some Sunday mornings, and I bet Grant would be man enough to admit he has too. The time of my life, and I thought about my parents probably going to church in that moment. And I remember. I've remembered things like that. This boy laid there in his slop, and he remembered a time when he was royalty. He remembered a time when he was meant for something. He remembered a time when he had all he wanted. He remembered a time when he was in the presence of his dad. There are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want with plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I here dying? Sometimes we're dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slops. I want to go back home. Some of you, you know, deep down in your heart, you want to go back home, and maybe you don't know how to get there. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where there's communication gaps with people, and we just don't know how to get there. I'll be transparent. I used to have a big communication problem with this awesome guy right here. And he had one back, honestly. We couldn't seem to communicate. And we never came to blows, and I never said I hate you, and really had no reason to hate him. And I don't think he had any reason to hate me. We were just going different directions, and we just didn't have a relationship. And I honestly had no way to close that relationship, and I wanted to, and I think he wanted to, and he had no way. We just couldn't figure it out, man. It was like this Grand Canyon between us. We didn't know how to get back. I know she knows about it. We've talked about it. A family torn apart, not knowing how to get back to good. I wanted to get back to the Father's house, but I just didn't know how. So he laid there, and he said this. He said, I will go back to my Father's house, and I'll say to him, Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I'll never be worthy to call your son. Please just treat me like one of your employees. Just give me a job, Dad. I know I've messed up too bad to ever be your son again. I know you'll never really take me back, Dad. I know it'll never be the same, Dad. But if you'll just let me work for you, man. You let me eat a little bit. Just take me out of this pain. Just take me out of this hunger. Dad, please. And he was so concerned. I like this. They put it in italics. He actually memorized a speech. He actually made a speech he was going to give the Father. I think that's an important detail. I think that's an awesome detail in the Word of God. He quotes what the man plans to say. How many have had something so big in your life, you just dreaded it, you just dread saying it, but you had to, and you just went over in your head 100 times what you're going to say. You might have even practiced it out loud like a speech because it was so important to you, you didn't want to mess it up. Have you been there? You rehearse in your mind what you'll say, and you practice it because it means something to you. This young man was so tore up, he had a speech already prepared. So the young son set off for home. Some of us are ready to set off for home. We've been away too long. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming. You want to know the Father's heart? It's in that verse. Waiting, looking, waiting for the sun, looking way out in the horizon. They didn't come in big Cadillacs or big tour buses or something. He was walking. If you're a long way away to see a figure walking towards you, you got to really be looking. You got to really be spending your time looking out on the horizon. Maybe one day my son will come. Maybe one day my daughter will come. Please come, son. Please come, daughter. Daddy loves you. Daddy wants you back in the house. Daddy wants to feed you. Daddy wants to see you happy. Daddy ain't never going to let you down. Daddy just wants to see the joy on your face while we run a little while. while we run a little while. And so he saw him coming, dressed as a beggar. You know, we rarely come back home with a victory parade. It's nice if you can. Maybe sometimes we gloat, we come back occasionally that way and make a little appearance and want to brag about what we got. But when you really get your heart broken and you come limping back to the Father's house, it's usually dressed as a beggar. You've been stripped of your pride, and all you got is your humility and you. You've been stripped of your pretense. You've been stripped of, oh me, I'm going to take on the world. Oh me, I'm so better than everybody else. Oh me, I never mess up. Oh me, I judge everybody. Oh me, it's okay, I talk about everybody. Oh me, I'm God. Oh me, I make the rules. Oh me, I say who's right. I say who's wrong. Oh me, look at me. But when you really get stripped down, man, you limp home like a beggar. Right back to the Father's house. And there he sits, just looking, waiting. What did he do? You know, I wonder what the kid thought, what the young man thought. And I wonder sometimes what we think. What would happen? I've already messed it up. I'd have to give up this and that. I just can't do that. I just can't do it. I've already messed up too much. What would God use me for? What could God use me for? I'm damaged. I mean, I've been eating slop. I've been starving to death. I've insulted the name of my Father. I've disrespected him. I mean, I'm nobody, right? Limping home, I wonder what he thought his Father was going to say. As he had his speech ready, he had that speech in his heart, right? He already had that speech wrote. So he's walking towards his dad, and he sees his dad looking, and he's broken, and he's scared, and he's dressed like a beggar, and he's hungry, but he's desperate. He's a desperate man, and in his mind, he's repeating the speech that he's already wrote, that he's just going to beg his daddy, let me have some food, Dad, and work for you. Imagine what he was thinking as he walked towards that old house he used to live in. You ever lived away from home and you start driving home and you start getting close? You start getting close in that car. You start seeing those familiar landmarks, you know, and you start getting close to home. I bet when you hit that holler back when you was away, every time I'd hit that holler, man, in Kentucky, that little holler, man, there's something when you get close to home, man. You start getting a little excited. You're kind of bored on that trip. But you start seeing some familiar landmarks. And you start getting a little excited. We're getting close. I bet mama's got something cooking. I bet daddy's got something on the grill. Man, we're getting close, man. But he was getting close, but he was scared. Because he had disappointed him. And because his life was such a mess. And with great compassion. It says, great compassion swelled up in the heart of the father for his son who's returning home. He was worried he'd be judged. He was worried he'd be hated. He was worried he'd be, I told you so. I told you so. You're a failure to me. You're a failure. That's what he was worried about. But his daddy didn't see any of that. His daddy didn't see the slop. And his daddy didn't see the beggar's outfit. Because the heart of the Father swelled it. It swelled with compassion. What does swell mean? It expands. It grows bigger. When you run to your Father, when a child runs to the Father's heart expands. Your normal heart can't even contain the amount of love when your little child runs to you. And the Father's heart expanded, full of love. Love, acceptance. Love and acceptance. So the Father, he didn't wait, man. That's the walk of shame. Some people, and I remember it. Some people think it's going to be a walk of shame when they come up here and pray. We should wear these. Listen, the preachers ought to be bound at this altar more than the congregation. Listen, we got to be a people that aren't too good to get up here and bow down and say, I want to get back in Daddy's lap. I haven't had a good week. My mind's not been where it's supposed to be. My focus ain't been where it's supposed to be. And I'm going to be a big enough man or woman to walk up to this altar and get up in Daddy's lap and hug and hold him. We got to quit being like this is some kind of taboo thing, man. My daughter ran up on the stage, Hannah, and gave me a kiss. If anybody, I don't know if anybody probably paid attention to, but I sure did. Before service, and said, Happy Father's Day, Dad. She wasn't ashamed. Why are we ashamed to run up and kiss our daddy and love on our daddy? But here's the thing. Sometime when you're back here, it feels like a long walk. And it's, you know, it feels like it's going to be like a walk of shame or something, right? We're worried that it's going to be, each step is going to be labored when we're back here. It looks like a long way away, and we think it's going to be hard. I'd say when he saw his father far away, he said, oh, I don't know if I can walk this far. I'm nervous and I'm scared. But what did the daddy do? He shortened the gap. Come on, he shortened the gap. He started running after his son. He started running after his son. He said, son, you don't have to walk all the way. I'm shortening the gap. You don't have to walk all the way to God. You don't have to get all the way to God because you'll never get there on your own. But if you make the journey, if you make the start, I promise you, he will shorten the gap. Your arms aren't long enough to get to heaven on your own. You can't live holy enough to get to heaven on your own. But if you'll take a few steps, he'll shorten the gap. The father ran after the child. He just had to be willing to take a step. The father raced. That's not even like a jog. That's not even a power walk. That is a race. That is a full-on sprint. That is Usain Bolt. That is as fast as you can run. That is a race. The father raced after the son. And he swept him up in his arms. And he hugged him. And he kissed him over and over with tender love. He swept him up in his arm. And he hugged him. And he kissed him over and over with tender love. That is the heart of the father. That is the heart of the father. That is the heart of the father. So the son, probably shocked, not knowing what to do. He wants to get out his speech. He's been practicing his speech. His speech where he admits all the bad stuff and just begs to be an employee. He's got to get out his speech. So he does it. He says, Father, I was wrong and I've sinned against you. And I could never be deserve to be called your son. Just let me be. Daddy interrupted him. Daddy cut off his speech. Daddy interrupted him. He just had to show he was sorry. And Daddy cut him off. It says the father interrupted and said, son, you're home now. Son, you're home now. Son, you're home now. Daughter, you're home now. Daughter, you're home now. Daughter, you're home now. You beat down. I know you're tired. I know you got this speech and you got guilt and you got shame. But it's done, daughter. You're home now. It's all okay. I remember a time when this little girl had a lot on her life and she had a lot of problems and she had a lot to run from. But she ran back home, and as long as she was home, as long as she was in the father's house, she was all right because she was home then. Let me tell you something. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. When you're running from something, when you're scared of something, if you just get to the Father's house, you're home. You're home. I think about so much, and we're going to be going, but home, man. Been a long time since I've not even stayed because I live close. And even when I lived apart, I guess that's the last time. It's been a long time since I've stayed at my parents' house. I go there. But, you know, you think about it. I think about my grandparents' house, which we're a close family. We're not being together. That's just how we are. You know? And I think about as a child, I think about in my grandparents' rentals. That's my dad's family's house. And I don't say this to talk about me nonstop, but maybe you can think of some memories. I think of the sound of a furnace kicking on. I can remember that sound. They had one of those great furnaces that if you stepped on it, whoa, it was hot. You had to jump it. Because some reason they thought it was a good idea to put really hot flaming metal on the floor so kids could walk on it. I don't know why. But we were smarter then because we learned how to get out of the way. Now we just sue people for our kids being dumb, you know. Can't learn how to jump out of the way. But I remember the sound of a furnace kicking on. I remember the sound of being asleep in my mom's parents and the smell of the breakfast. I remember the sound of my grandmother's voice when she said, "George," when she would yell. That was George, but she said, "George." I remember so much. I remember going to church. I remember home. And there's something about being home. And when you're away from it, you know, you go a little bit and you don't think about it, but then there's times when you long for home. And if we're grown-ups, we'll admit, there's times in our life that we really sometimes romanticize, whether true or not. And some of us think maybe that was the best ever was. Maybe that was when the life was the best. But God says you can be home. You can come home. He said, "Son, you're home." And he did something remarkable. The son was just happy to be a slave, to be an employee, to be a servant. But he said, the father turned to his servants and he said, "Quick, bring me the best robe." No, my robe. My very own robe. "And I will place it on his shoulders. And bring the ring, the seal of my sonship. And I will put it on his finger. And bring the best shoes you can find for my son. And let's prepare a great feast and celebrate. For this beloved son of mine was once dead, and now he's alive. Once was lost, but now he's found." And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. Broken, the boy was just happy to get a sniff. "Let me just work, Dad. And just treat me like one of the employees, one of the servants." But Dad said, "No. Let me tell you what, your kids can disappoint you. They will disappoint you if you're normal. Because they're human too. But I don't care how many times or what they do. I bet if little Robbie came to Robbie right now, no matter what he did, Robbie wouldn't say, I disown you. I hate you. He wouldn't do that. And if somebody came at little Robbie, what would you do? Be honest. If somebody attacked little Robbie, take up for him, wouldn't you? You take up for your boy. You're proud of him. And even no matter what he does, no matter what your child does to you, you don't disown that child because they're mistakes. But the boy thought that was what was going to happen. But the dad shocked the game, man. The dad changed the game. The dad shocked the world. The dad messed everybody's mind up. The dad said, "You know what? I'm not going to hire you. I'm going to call you my son. I'm going to put on my own robe on you. I'm going to put my ring on your hand. I'm going to put my shoes on your feet." What he's really doing, you can preach whole messages on this, and I don't have time. But he's really just creating his identity. He's establishing his identity. He is reestablishing his identity. You are not a beggar. You are not one eating slop. You remain with purpose. You are royalty. And you are my son. And you are home. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And some of us haven't heard that in a long time. Some of you have not heard that in a long time. But God is proud of you. He may not be proud of where you are. He may not be proud of some of your decisions. But you're always one step away from being home. You're always one step away from being home. I'll say this. I wasn't going to do this. I'm just going to touch on it. I'm just going to touch on it. There was another son. I've done whole messages on this. I don't have time. But there was another son. Didn't like it. He didn't like it. I'm not saying he hated his brother, but he didn't feel it was right. He had his own soapbox and he had his own agenda. And he thought, whoa, Dad. I've been here. I didn't leave. Dad, do you remember me? I wasn't the one eating the slop. I've done everything really good in my mind. Yeah, I've been good and faithful, man. In my own mind, he's showing some spiritual pride, but we won't get into that. But he's saying, look at me, God. Look at me, Dad. Why would you throw a party for this dirty, filthy dude coming back? And when you didn't throw one for me, we need to show him his place. He needs to suffer a little while. But that's the heart of the older brother. And that's not the heart of the father. The heart of the father was, son, I love you. And I'm proud of you. And I'm just glad you're home. And sometimes if we're not careful, we have the voice or the heart of the older brother. Instead of celebrating people coming back home, we want to throw in their face that they were eating slop yesterday. I'll say this, and this person didn't give me permission. And I'm actually not gossiping. I'm doing it hearsay. Because somebody told me something that somebody said. But I don't say it in a mean spirit, but I say it in a way to show you that we got to have the heart of the Father. Somebody told me that they were in a restaurant and they overheard a conversation. And the person was complaining about this ministry. Nothing hateful, not real bad. Just they didn't jive with them. And they gave three reasons why it didn't jive with them. Number one was we get too excited. Guilty as charged. Yeah, that's guilty. Guilty. They said they get a little excited. Get a little excited about God for some reason. Get a little too excited about Jesus and the cross and salvation. And they might not mean anything bad by it. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying this is what they said. And I'm going to skip to the third and come back in a second. The third one, they said we didn't get involved in politics enough, which I couldn't understand that, but that's what they said. They said we didn't take political stands enough or something. I don't know, you know. I'm just here to see souls saved. But the second one kind of hurt my heart, touched my heart. They said they let drug addicts come and treat them like they're real people. That's a quote. I mean, I can understand theological differences, but the real content was that we treat addicted people like people. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what's the alternative? But I'm not mad at those kind of comments. But what we see is the heart of the older brother versus the heart of the father. Because the father sees the hurt person and knows he's one step away or she's one step away from being home. Now, I don't care what slop you've been eating or what slop I've been eating. We're always one step away. Now, I'm not advocating, and I guess I should probably put a disclaimer. I'm not advocating you just keep laying in slop, but I'm not going to keep kicking you while you're down. I'll just keep pushing love in you because I want to see you get out of your slop and I want to see you come home. But it's the heart of the father. There was one more father and son story as we finish that I think about when I think about this man right here, Rick, carrying that 13-year-old named Maddie all over the creation just to see the joy in his baby girl's face. I think of the father-son story. Grant, bring that cross. I think of the father-son story that occurred right here. I think of a father, and just hold on to it, Marine. I think of the father who loved the creation so much that he made a place, he made a garden, he made a life, he made a world where he could just come down and be close, intimate fellowship with nothing in between him and us. That was his plan. And that's what he created. And then we, as a creation, as a humanity, we're like the prodigal son, in that we said, no, Dad, we want your blessings. We want this planet you gave us. We want these bodies we like. They feel good. There's things, you know, we can taste, feel, touch, smell, hear. We like all this stuff, man. We like the animals. We like the mountains. We like, but we just want it outside your rules and presence. And so something got in between us and God, and it was called sin. But God loved us enough that he wanted to create a plan to remove that distance and shorten the gap. Turn to intimacy with him and his creation, with us and him. He loved you so much that he wanted to be so intimate with you that he wanted to remove everything that stood in between you and him. And so what he did was something just totally crazy, radical, amazing, mind-blowing. Something makes me excited. I get excited. That's what excites me. He sent behind God the Son, the Word. He sent him down here to earth to pay a price that we couldn't pay and to hang on a cross and bleed and suffer to remove the distance. This is theology 101, but it's pretty good, isn't it? To remove the distance between you and him. That's powerful. That is powerful. Powerful stuff. But how many knows when he was on the cross, the Bible says Satan entered Judas, so we know Satan was part of the plan. The plan to crucify him was a holy, unholy, unholy, evil union between Satan and who? Religion. And that the devil still uses that to this day. You get the devil and some religion, they'll try to kill some people. They'll try to crucify some people. So the devil and religion, they teamed up and they said, we're going to put him on a cross. Because how many think if they put him on a cross on purpose, they didn't really get it? And maybe in their own twisted mind, they thought the Father don't have the guts. Maybe they thought Jesus will tap. Maybe they thought God the Father, there's no way he can sit and watch Jesus die on that cross. There is no way. But you know what they did? They underestimated the depth of the Father's love. He loved you. Turn to somebody on your left. Say, you. You got to get loud, man. I know this is deep. Turn to the other person. Say, you. Now hit yourself on the chest or somewhere and say, me. He loved you enough to watch his son bleed out on a cross so he could be intimate with you and me and so we could come back home and live as sons and daughters. Jesus hung on this cross and bled and didn't tap because he loved you so much that he wanted a bride. That's love. In spite of our beggar ways, in spite of our slot we lay in spite of our sins, in spite of every bad thing ever done on this planet, can you imagine all the things, all the sins committed? And in spite of them all, his love was great enough to die for us. That is the real heart of the Father. He loves us enough. And all he's saying is, come back home. There used to be a motel commercial. What was it? We'll leave the light on for you. The light's on the porch. The light's on the porch. He's waiting. He's been waiting. Oh, I'm not saying you're horrible, but he's been waiting for you to get up in his lap. He's been waiting on you to love on him. He's been waiting to spend a little time with you. Daddy loves you and he misses you and he just wants to spend a time with you sometimes. He's waiting for you. He's cheering you on. He sees what you've done, but he looks at you through loving eyes. And he's waiting for the moment when you take one step and his heart will swell with love and he will race to meet you. Just to love. Who wants to come home? Who wants to come home? Today's your day. It's Father's Day. You don't have to make him a card. You don't have to get him a cheesy t-shirt. Nothing wrong with those things. I like t-shirts. He just wants to spend time with you, though. I like to every head to bow. I got a question for you. Do you know the Father's heart? Do you know the Father's heart? What's your relationship like with your daddy? Some people have had relationship issues with their daddies over the years. They didn't know their daddy, or there was bad things, alcoholism, abuse, and things, and sometimes that can create problems later in life. What is your relationship right now with your Father, God the Father? Do you just ask him for a blessing when you need him? Do you just say, God, you can call up his name when you need him? God, the baby's sick. Pray for me. God, I need a job. I got to pray for me. Oh, God, I need something. Pray. God, I need something. Need something. Need something. Daddy, I need some money. Daddy, I need some money. Daddy, I need some money. And we give the best we can, but sometimes we just want to hear, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. Do you ask just for blessings when you need him? Do you just visit from time to time out of obligation? Do you just come on Sundays because that's what you're supposed to do to make somebody happy or to be a good person, so-called? Is that something you do just out of obligation? Do you come on Father's Day, Mother's Day, Easter, and Christmas? Or do you come every Sunday but your heart is about obligation and not relationship? How often do you visit him? What are the quality of your visits? Or maybe you're in here and you're a long way from home, you feel. And you feel you're hungry. And you feel you're lonely. And you feel you're desperate. There's nobody looking around. If that's you and you know that you want to be in the presence of the Father, you're away from the presence of the Father. You want to be more intimate with the Father. Some of you's longing for home, home, home. You feel that longing in your heart. You feel that longing of home. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. There's nobody looking around. Just slip your hand up. I see it. Just see it. I see it. Keep slipping your hands up. I see it. Don't be ashamed. He loves you. Just say, I want to be home. You say, you know what? I haven't been loving on Daddy enough lately. I've let stuff get in between my relationship with Daddy. And I need to be more close. I need to crawl up in Daddy's lap today. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I see your hands. I see your hands. If you're in here and you know, you just say, I want to come home. I just want to go home. Would you raise your hand with me? God bless. I see your hands. I see your hands. Today is Father's Day. And I'm thankful for every earthly father we have. But I think nothing would make our Heavenly Father more happy than to see his children playing around this altar, praying first and then celebrating and laughing as they return home. This weekend I was blessed. I had two nights in a row where, and people are already coming. That's good. Just keep your head bowed though. We'll pray with them in a second because God's getting ready to move right here. I was watching my children play two nights in a row by the water. And I'm blessed every Sunday mostly to have every child I have here. That is a blessing. That is a blessing. Every child I have is here with me on Sundays. Every child I have, that is a blessing. And I don't take it lightly. And I watched my children play this weekend by the water. And I was just in heaven. I mean, or as much as you get on earth. I was just overjoyed, my heart swollen, because I watched my children play by the water. God the Father would like nothing more than to see all His children come home today and playing around the altar, praying and playing, and just loving on each other and loving on Him. I guarantee you, He would be waiting for you. I guarantee you, if you take one step, He's going to run to meet you. Are you ready? I want all those hands that were up to raise again. Raise them high. Say, I want it, Dad. I want you, Daddy. Raise your hands back up. All those that had your hands up, raise them up high. Raise them up high. Raise them up high. Don't chicken out on me. Raise them up high. Raise them up high. There you go. Keep them up. Switch arms if you have to. Keep them up. I'm going to count to three, and we're going to do something crazy here together. We're going to come home. We're going to walk home together. I'm going to count to three, and everybody's going to stand, and you're just going to take a couple steps towards me, and the daddy's going to meet you, I promise you. Are you ready? One, two. When I get to three, you stand. Everybody move. Put your hands back up. Don't quit on me. Don't quit on me. Don't quit on me. Don't quit on daddy. Three, stand up. Stand up. Those hands, I want you to come. I want you to come. I want you to come. Every hand that was raised, I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward. I want you to move somebody out of your way. Just move somebody out of your way. Just move somebody. There were hands that were raised.